The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want the good news, you want the bad news?
I don't like either one of those options.
Your words are super wise, man.
You are a prophet. You deserve a prophet.
You do whatever you want. Who am I to tell you what to do?
But you're a psychologist.
Well, I know less than you do.
You're making me a better parent and a better wife, and thank God you're on the radio.
What planet are you on? I don't buy any of that stuff.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
What are you talking about?
You make my afternoon really fun. Enjoy ya.
You're about the most exciting thing I have right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
When I was a boy, starting a lot of my sentences that way. I've been starting them that way since I was 40. You know, when I was a kid, we had three channels. Now they got 9,622. And a movie was a big deal. Went to a movie and everybody knew about the movie. Now there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of movies coming out all over the place. Most of them junk. But we didn't have a weather channel when I was a kid. What we had is a window. And you looked out. It was right there. That moment you knew what the weather was. Simple times. Good to have you with me, Dr. Ray Guarendi program. Doctor is in. Just this morning, tying up some details on heading out to Omaha, KVSS, where we're going to do four tapings, God willing, of the TV show Living Right with Dr. Ray. All the details are there on the KVSS website, spiritcatholicradio.com. And boy, they put a picture of me up there. It made me look 15 years younger. I don't know how they did it, but that was a good picture back when. You know how you're getting old, don't you? The other day I looked at my driver's license picture and I thought, oh, that's not a bad picture. Yeah, that's an ugly realization. Look in the mirror and go, what? Who's the old dude looking back at me? Cut it out. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call. If you would like to get onto the program, I'm a psychologist, heading over there this afternoon to the office. Spent some time there this week, yesterday too. I kind of fit private clients in, usually in the mornings and sometimes in the afternoons after the radio show. And I don't ever want to stop seeing people. That's crazy. All that would happen then is you'd become kind of a soundbite media shrink, which isn't good. Kind of want to know long term how things work, how people tick, and you can only do that by listening over periods of time to lots of different folk. But here on the radio show, I can't do what I do in the office. I can't diagnose you. I can't definitely step into another therapist's turf. Not going to do therapy, but I can promise you this. I can try to educate you as best I can, maybe give you a few thoughts, a few ideas. You can tell me where I'm wrong if you dare, but you can. And by the way, if you disagree with me, or you're even vituperative toward me, that's a word I haven't been able to use for a long time. We'll put you first. We'll put you first up. Why is this? Because if I can't defend or I can't offer an explanation to what I said or thought, then I didn't think it through very much. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get onto the program. 877-573-7825. I would love to hear from you. Remember the rule. You call. We'll get you up there as best we can. Talk to Eric Dumont, first line call screamer. Andrew Krutchek, producer man, second line call screamer if Eric falls asleep. Okay. It's not unusual that a mother and a father don't agree on discipline. Not unusual that they have different tolerance levels, different levels of obliviousness. Guys are notoriously known for being less aware than women. That is the way it is. That's just research says that. The ladies just notice things, and consequently, they notice what kids are doing or trying to do before hours or days before we guys sometimes catch on to what they're doing. This leads to differences in discipline, in standards. And typically there are perhaps beyond discipline, beyond disagreement, there is conflict. And the conflict is I'm doing it right, you're not. The conflict is I'm psychologically correct, you're not. The conflict is my way's better than yours and your way needs to step aside. Happens a lot. My wife and I had a rule in our house that worked pretty well for us. If you can do it, I think it'll work well for you. But to be able to do it, you got to surrender a little bit of yourself. That means you've got to be able to stand down if you disagree with your spouse about discipline. Here is the rule. The parent who disciplines rules. Now, what do I mean by that? My wife was a better disciplinarian than I was. She was more aware. She had higher standards. She just was better at it on a day-to-day basis. Now, maybe I knew the ideas and the notions and the philosophies behind it, but she ran the household well. So, for example, if the boys were not allowed to burp at the table, and I thought it was impressive if they could burp the alphabet all the way up to L or M without taking a breath. I mean, that's a talent you want to have as a kid. She just didn't think it was cool. All right. So they weren't allowed to burp. And if she sent them away from the table for something I wouldn't send them away from the table from, that was the rule. That's what she did. Let's say that I came home and in a couple hours I'm going to go play basketball. Played that for many years with my friends. Back when I could jump and run and play and shoot without hurting my hand. And she said, Andrew did A, B, C, D, E. And he's going to bed early and he's not going to basketball with you. Now, my thought is, yeah, I wanted to take Andrew to basketball with him. I was really looking forward to that, you know, some dad-kid time. But for whatever the reason, she made that judgment. That was her rule. So she ruled. You see what I mean by saying you've got to give up some of your own, perhaps, prideful perspective? Step back. Now, someone might say, yeah, okay, I can accept that the person who disciplines rules, but I don't like the way they discipline. I don't like their style. Too talkative, too nasty, too nagging, too argumentative, too negotiable, too reminding. The question is authority, it's not style. Their style may be bad, or their style may not be your style. But if they still have the authority as a parent to make that condition, which is, for example, you're going to bed early because your room is a trash pit, and I've told you four times, and you're not going to clean it, so therefore go to bed. And I'll tie a rope around your waist so that if you fall asleep in the midst of all that debris, I can pull you back out like they used to do with the high priest. They put a rope around him in case he had a problem inside the Holy of Holies. They couldn't go in there. They had to pull them out with a rope. At least that's the story I heard. I could have maybe David Anders or Colin Donovan or Jimmy Akin call me and tell me that's wrong, Ray. It's a spurious story. Sounds like it makes sense, though. So given all that, if you sit down with your spouse and you say, I know we don't agree on discipline in terms of what constitutes disrespect, in terms of when they're over the line in the way they're treating a sibling, bedtime, any one of countless things. Simply say the person who made the discipline or the stricter discipline rules. Oh, but Dr. Ray, that could be too strict. You know, I'm going to tell you my experience. Even when spouses agree to live by that rule, the stricter parent is not all that strict. Stricter parent may appear strict compared to the more permissive parent, but even at that, stricter parent is not all that strict. So I think it's a good rule to operate by. It worked for us, worked very well for us. And I will tell you that as I stepped back and supported my wife in a judgment or a decision that she made that I wouldn't necessarily, it just worked out a whole lot better. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. Give me a call.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere. And that's a doctor's order.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Essio. I have an important message for all you homeschooling families. You can get an outstanding and fully accredited Catholic college education and save $100,000. To learn how, go to angelicum.net. That's angelicum.net. Earn 75 college credits and an associate's degree in high school for just $3,500 a year. And earn your BA degree just 1 year later at age 19. Check this out at angelicum.net.
Like that. Oh. That's all I'm getting of that, huh, Andrew? Too bad. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thanks so much for joining me. Let me sip my diet, Dr. Pepper. Yeah, I don't get a Dr. Mr. I don't get a diet Mr. Pepper. Jay from PA. Jay's a PA. No, Jay from Pennsylvania. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you today?
Okay, bud. Give me the story.
Yeah, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I went through a couple different rehabs, one really good and one not so good. And I have a problem with my daughter-in-law and my son with seeing the grandchildren when I'm sober. I mean, now that I am sober, I've been sober for several months. What's your suggestion on trying to ease the strain on that relationship and, you know, getting a little more forward, come forward with the grandchildren type deal.
They letting you come around at all?
No.
Oh.
No, and also not allowed to talk to them on the phone, wish them a happy birthday. Now, the last time I saw them was in Easter for about 3 hours. I went over to their home and, of course, had a ball, played with the kids the whole time I was there. But that was it. Now,
why was that okay and it's not okay now?
I had a relapse in between time.
Ah.
For a couple
okay,
weeks.
So, well, here's what I think you're talking about. They don't trust you because
correct.
You've been in and out and in and out of sobriety for how long?
Probably about a year and a half. Like about a year, maybe. Year and a half.
That's it? In other words, prior to a year and a half, you had no problems with alcohol?
Yeah. You asked me how long I'd been in and out of sobriety. How long I'd tried to stay sober.
Okay. So prior to that, you didn't try to stay sober.
Correct. I had a problem with alcohol, a real problem, when I turned 55. I'm 59 now. I retired at age 55 and retired to a bottle, basically, in my garage. And that was when the problem started. I didn't do anything about it for about 3 years or so.
Okay. You're not going to get them to trust you. They look at it as, we don't know if you're going to show up intoxicated. We don't know about supervision. We just don't know. Now, some kids, adult kids, would say, Dad, as long as we're here and you come over, if you're not in good shape, we're going to take you home. But short of that, you can come over. You don't have a son and a daughter-in-law like that, correct?
Correct.
Okay. This is one of the repercussions of all those years, Jay, of just kind of allowing yourself to be led by the bottle. Here's what you tell them. You tell them, I totally understand why you're doing what you're doing. It makes complete sense to me. Would you be willing to just keep an eye on me in your own way and make sure that I stay sober? Or they may not want to monitor you, but more or less observe that I'm staying sober. Somehow, some way, you get the evidence I'm staying sober. And then, after a long enough time, in your opinion that I've stayed sober, can we set up a visit? You guys be there. Nothing, I'm not going to take the kids anywhere. You guys be there. And ever so slowly, I'll prove to you that this time around, I'm not going to relapse. Would they hear that out?
I think they would. Okay. I think they would. I don't know. My daughter-in-law is pretty difficult to speak with at times. She's through other shrinks, if you will, as you say. I've learned that she's kind of she's an insecure, very demanding, and selfish type person. And
don't you dare ever tell her that.
No, but that's not me speaking. That is through other folks such as yourself that I've seen over the last year and a half.
Yeah, but don't you ever tell her that they said that.
No.
That first of all, that's foolish as all get out. And second of all, you say something like that, all she's going to say is, those people don't even know me, so how could they say that?
It's
so
correct. And that is not...
The chance you have is very simple, and that is to put your hat in your hand and say, I totally understand why you're doing this. Don't come across like, boy, I don't agree with this. I can't believe you're doing this to me. This is so cruel. This is nasty. Give me a break, would you? I'm trying hard. Don't do that. They'll dig their heels in. You say, I get it. I know why you're doing this, and I want time to prove to you that I can be trusted. and I'm willing to take it a step at a time. That's your best chance. All right,
sounds
my friend?
Great.
Good
that
luck to you.
Great.
All right.
Hey,
God bless you.
Thank you very much.
You're
you
welcome.
Too. Bye now.
Okie doke. Okay, let me just go to Will from Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Will. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Doc. I'm fine. How are you?
Nothing gaining on me that I know of. You know, Satchel Paige used to say that. They'd ask old Satchel Paige. They never knew his age.
One time.
You didn't.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. He pitched
in the 40s.
At the minor league team stadium, and I was about 5-6 years old.
I was going to say, he pitched in the 40s.
No, he was minor league then. He said, that's Satchel Paige. I said, how old is he? And my dad said, nobody knows.
Nobody knows. That is exactly right.
Blew my mind, Doc.
They say anyway. That Satchel Paige used to take a cigarette paper, unwrap it. Now, you know how big that would be, what, 3 inches by 3 inches? I don't know.
Yeah.
And he would practice pitching over it to be able to control the ball that much.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if that's a spurious story or not, but I did read that about old Satchel Paige.
Oh, it probably is. How's it feel to be the same age as old people? Anyway, I listened to your monologue there. But I'm 73, Doc, and I got a grandson. I'm fortunate enough to spend about four hours a week with him, and been diagnosed with ADD, and when he was 4 years old, 5 years old, he was thrown out of a couple preschools, and he got into kindergarten, and he gave the teachers fits. He threw chairs, and they had to chase him down corridors and stuff. I'd been retired for a little while, and I was the one they had to call to come to school to try and get him to calm down. So now what I've noticed is we'll be sitting there on the couch. We'll be watching Looney Tunes because I try to get him to throw a baseball, ride a bike. He's just, for some reason, not interested in that.
Okay.
And so we'll be watching Looney Tunes. And here in the last month, I've noticed he'll take his hand and he'll stick it down the back of his drawers and he'll bring it up so like he's facing his fingers and he'll sniff. And I watched him a few times. Maybe he did it, 4 or 5 times in 3 to 5 minutes, you know. And I asked him. I says, "What's that smell like?"
Dude, I've never said two things to you. Well, I gotta get to it because I'm gonna lose you at the break. One, let's not overinterpret it. Kids have all kinds of weird quirks. You don't look at it and say, "Okay, what the heck is wrong with this kid?" Yeah, you can't draw that conclusion. It's just a weird, weird thing. Two. You don't let him do it. You say, son, that's unhealthy. It's germy. You don't do it. Now, if you're going to do it, I'm going to discipline you. That's what you do.
Hey, one more word. T-Bone Walker. I like that music you were playing. All right.
Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you. Kids do this. Kids do odd, goofy, sometimes self-destructive type stuff that is impulsive and quirky. And the danger in these psychologically enlightened societies is to overinterpret it. Because a lot of times, it's not attached to anything. It's not in the context of everything. Now, this kid may be immature. He may have been diagnosed by something. But that still doesn't necessarily relate to his diagnosis. I can't tell you how many parents I've worked with who have gotten shook up by some quirk, some weird emotional quirk, or some freakish obsession. And it doesn't mean a whole lot because overall the kid's okay. It's just within the realm of, what's the word I'm looking for, human diversity, variety, behavioral, broad spectrum choices. 877-57. Equal 877-573-7825. I would love to hear from you.
best to express ourselves to God. Our prayer takes flesh, says the Catholic Catechism, when we use mental or vocal words to talk to God, who speaks to us through His Word. Our heart must be involved in prayer. We must be present to Him whom we are addressing. Whether or not our prayer is heard depends not on the number of our words, says St. John Chrysostom, as the fervor of our souls. Vocal prayer is essential to the Christian life. Jesus taught the perfect vocal prayer, the Our Father, to His disciples. He prayed aloud the liturgical prayers in the synagogue. He also prayed aloud personally, exultantly praising the Father, as well as expressing His agony in Gethsemane. Vocal prayer fits the needs of our human nature. We are body and spirit, and this need corresponds to a divine requirement. God seeks worshipers in truth and spirit. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5. Watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction. But they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, from Mom and Dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly, affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What happens when none of your beeswax, right? Remember that? Well, none of your beeswax. Beeswax was something I think they used, mind your own beeswax. It was something they used as sort of a facial, not a cream, but something that was put on faces way, way back. And when somebody was giving advice that was unwanted, they said, mind your own beeswax. All right, what do we got here? Let's go to Susan from Montana. Hi, Susan. Oh, okay. Let's go to, Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I can barely hear you. My radio's off.
How about now?
That's better. Thank you.
Sure. Your turn, Susan. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Recently, we had a tragedy in our family where a young father passed away unexpectedly. I have two young grandchildren. Absolutely, everybody is really good people. Okay, I can't say a bad thing anyway. It was an accident. All I'm looking for, besides all of us working hard at being very stable, loving adults, is there any input or insight you can give me to help my grandchildren get through this and my daughter?
How old are your grandchildren?
3 and 5.
So as a young father and a young mother. There, Susan. Susan? Do you have a radio on in the background here?
No, I don't. I don't have any radio on. It's totally turned off.
Okay.
Okay.
We're getting a bounce back of some type. How long ago did this happen? Okay, I knew we were having some connection problems. We lost. We lost Susan. Let's go to Katie. Katie in Michigan. Hi, Katie. Katie. Hi, Katie. Katie in Michigan.
Hello?
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Thanks for the call.
Hi. I had a question. My husband and I don't always agree on disciplining our children, where, you know, something's happening and the kid comes in and says, so-and-so did this, and then he kind of just flies off the handle, and I say, wait, we should see why they did that, or, you know, should I do that, or should I wait until afterwards to talk about it later?
Are you saying, Katie, you don't like your husband's style? In other words, his discipline... Yeah, his discipline might be okay. It's just the way he goes about it is rough.
Right. Right. The discipline is fine. I understand, you know, the child needs to be disciplined. But as far as, I guess, you know, the kid comes in crying, so-and-so did this to me, and he immediately reacts instead of, well, why did they do that, you know? Because we could find out later there's a reason it happened, and then he spanked him for no reason or something like that.
Your husband thinks that you undercut him.
Okay.
Does he?
Well, he doesn't like it when I interrupt because, you know, then it kind of undermines his authority, you know.
Well, you're right. So you got to make a decision. On one hand, if you say, well, he reacts so badly that I do have to step in to calm things down. That's one option. The other option is, well, he gets madder than I get, and then he calms down later. But initially, he doesn't. He's impulsive, and he doesn't really take time to figure out what's going on and what to do about it like I would. Which one is it?
The second one.
Okay, but that's the safer one, Katie. Because what happens is you can talk to him later. After he flies off the handle, you can ask him later. Rather than, and I think he probably thinks this, you're embarrassing him in front of the kids. Mom's coming to the rescue.
Yeah.
He does? Yeah, I know he does. Mom's coming to the rescue. Dad's the big bad wolf. Now, I'm not saying that his style is good. You know, somebody's going to email me. I can't believe you said that. That father was this, 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 and this, and you should have told him. He didn't call, first of all. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, if Katie, if you want him to be more reasonable about the discipline, you can't impulsively jump in every time he gets agitated and too much jumps on a situation. You wait. And then later, you say. Now, here's what may happen. Let's say that he gets mad, but he doesn't do anything about it. All right, somebody comes in and says, my brother did this to me. And he gets angry and starts saying, what were you doing in there in the first place? You know better than that. You know he shouldn't have been in there. Well, how many times have I told you guys? Something like that, right?
Right.
But he doesn't do anything about it. In other words, he didn't discipline him. He yelled at him. He lost his cool. But he didn't take any action. I think that's where you can step in and say, you guys heard what your dad said. Now we're going to decide what to do about it. So this way it looks like you're backing him up without immediately making him look bad because he's getting all frustrated. Later on, you can ask him. You can say, how about this? Put it in your own words and say something like, I know when I get frustrated with the kids, it's usually because I forget that they're kids and they're going to do that kind of stuff. Or it's usually because I don't want to be bothered by the scrap that they just pulled. Or it's because I'm feeling like, when are they going to get this? Are these kids going to grow up to be felons? See if he'll tell you why he gets so upset so quick. What is it that's underlying this? That's something I'd explore with him, if he'll talk about it. I don't know if he will, but if so, you can ask him about it. But be real careful about stepping in immediately and undercutting him, because you know he resents that. And that makes him even more frustrated.
So It'll probably confuse the kids, like, who's...
Well, sure, absolutely. You know, dad's doing it all wrong, and mom is the one who's going to save us, kind of thing. 877-573-7825. This is Dr. Ray. Thanks so much for keeping me company.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no. But you see, if you understood the awesomeness of God and all his power and all his wonder, and he comes down to our level. He wanted to feel. How do you feel? I don't know anybody that loves anyone that much. And this imperfect being that's you and me and all of us, he did it for us. That's why you should never despair, because you're imperfect.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams. Contemplate the universe with me.
When the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them.
Jesus did that twice, suddenly appearing inside a locked room. He also walked on water a couple of times, and once, as he got into the boat suddenly arrived at shore. Remember when Philip baptizes the eunuch and suddenly disappears? Then in Emmaus, Jesus blesses the bread and likewise disappears. Now all of this and many other biblical miracles can be understood if there is just one more than four space-time dimensions to reality. Crazy? Well, lately physicists have been explaining how reality probably contains as many as 10, 11, or even 26 dimensions of space-time. Impossible? We have no idea, but God knows, and one day you will too. At AveMariaRadio.net, under Resources, explore the universe with me. I'm Dr. Stan Williams.
I used to be so indecisive. I did. Now I'm not so sure. Good to have you. Dr. Ray Grady, thanks for joining me. Appreciate it. This is The Doctor Is In, a co-production of EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Some 440 stations, as well as Sirius Channel 130. And then also, with the help, cooperation, conjoint effort of Ave Maria Radio Communications. Nancy calling from Ohio. It's a situation where she is apart from the boys' fathers. They're 16 or thereabouts. Hi, Nancy.
Hello, Dr. Ray. I decided to call in because I was having trouble hearing you on the radio or on my radio station, but I can hear you on my phone. So.
Well, Nancy. Well, first of all, if you can't pick up the radio station for where you are, you're going to have to move closer to the station.
I should.
Yeah, come on. What's the work to you?
I haven't had this problem, you know, before. It's just today, and I was wondering, is there an app or something to put on my phone so I can listen to you on my phone?
Oh, yeah. You can go to Ave Maria Radio. That's an app. You can go to EWTN Radio. There are, yes, where are you calling from, Nancy, in Ohio?
Yep, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Cincinnati, Sacred Heart Radio, I'm sure down there has an app. Oh, gosh, all of the, pretty much all of the networks and all of the affiliates have apps, and you can just listen on the radio. Okay. I do that when I'm traveling. I just put an app on, and I don't worry about the stations fading in and out.
That's what I need to do, because I want to listen to you every day. I like you so much. It's just frustrating when I hear all this garbling and I can't hear you, so I decide to call.
Well, that's the way I sound, though. Nancy, that's just the way I sound. That's my voice.
Oh, so well, no, this is a radio problem, I think.
Okay. So your ex-husband is pretty much giving your kids some illegal freedoms.
Yeah, he's always been kind of like that, seems like. Mm. And I'm just getting frustrated because I don't believe in what he's doing.
Well, I don't either, but...
Two 16-year-olds, some fruity alcoholic drinks.
What does he let them drink?
He lets them drink the fruity alcohol drinks, you know, those ones that are like Mike's Hard Lemonade or those fruity ones, you know?
Okay. You're not going to stop him, are you?
I let him know how I felt. I said, okay. I let him know how I felt about it. I'm like,
well, you know what his comeback was? Nancy, you know what his comeback was? All it is 5% alcohol. It's no big deal.
Oh, that's what he said. I know. That's exactly what he said.
Boy, how do I do this? I promise you, he never called me.
Are you sure? Okay, because I was like.
Do the kids come to visit you?
They don't really have no interest because they do visit me occasionally. But right now, I just don't know what to do because I don't want them here. I don't have any alcohol in my house, but I don't know.
Nancy, you got a bigger issue. You got a bigger issue than them drinking Mike's Hard Lemonade. The bigger issue is they don't come to see you.
Yep.
Their view is, we're going to stay with Dad. He's a little more easygoing than Mom. He's not the religious fanatic Mom is. And so really, there's no reason to go see Mom. Right?
Yeah. I used to be able to cook meals for them, and they used to come over here. But now it's kind of like,
Do you have legal agreements, legal visitations?
I do, but the problem with that, Dr. Ray, is they're teenagers right now, and it doesn't work when you have older kids. They just pretty much do what they want to do now.
Well, technically, yeah. Well, how should I say technically? Technically, no. All right, if there's a court order that they have to visit, they have to visit. And you can get that court order enforced. Mm-hmm. You can say, look, you guys got to come here on those days. I know you don't want to come, but I want to see you. And we can do things together, and I can cook meals for you. You can do that. You don't have to surrender to that. See, I think that's the bigger issue there, Nance. The fact that he's going to give him the hard lemonade, you're not going to do anything about that. That's not going to – forget it. Give it up. I wouldn't say anything about it. It's over. You've expressed your feelings and your thoughts, and his attitude is, I don't agree with you, and it's no big deal, and these are my boys, and shut up. Pretty much.
The thing about when they come over here, they just literally, it's just kind of hard, because if they don't want to be here, then they act out on me. Like my daughter was on, listen to this, my daughter was out on the swing. She's 16 years old and 18-year-old. She took her acrylic nails off of her nails and threw them on my patio, and I knocked on her car window, and I said, get back here and clean up your nails, and she laughed at me and took off. That's how disrespectful they are to my property.
Okay, then it sounds right now like you're in a situation where you really have no parental authority, leverage, and almost relationship with those kids.
No.
So instead of driving yourself nuts, you recognize that I'm going to be their mother in whatever limited way I can be their mother, and for the meantime, I'm just going to have to accept that they don't come over here because they like it where they are, because they get much more freedom and everything else that their dad gives them, and you quit beating your head against the wall. Thanks, Nance.
That's what I'm...
Thank you, dear. God bless you, Robert. Robert from Waterloo. Hello, Robert. Hey, Robert.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air. Be careful what you say. Make them all compliments about me.
Now, Dr. Ray,
forward to seeing you up here in Omaha. And in order to get off of work, I had to take and tell my boss that I needed my head examined and I needed to see a shrink.
Well, he must have agreed with you. Robert, he must have agreed with you because he let you go.
Yes, he is. And I'm even bringing a second and third opinion, which is my fiancé and my mother.
Did you have to convince them to come?
Not at all. They agreed immediately.
Well, do me a favor if you would. Whichever program you come to, you come up and introduce yourself. I'd love to meet you. And I'll do my best to straighten out your head.
I'll be coming to the Tuesday program, both of them.
That's great, Robert. Thank you so much. Well, I appreciate that. We need people there.
You're welcome, and I enjoy listening to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. We'll get back to your questions after I take another of my mandated breaks.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray. Now, don't you feel better?
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
The church has a very high view of conscience. I think it was St. John Henry Newman who called conscience the aboriginal vicar of Christ. The Catechism reads this way on conscience: the interior voice of a human being within whose heart the inner law of God is inscribed. Moral conscience is a judgment of practical reason about the moral quality of a human action. It moves a person at the appropriate moment to do good and to avoid evil. It offers some suggestions, the Ten Commandments, the moral teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, the moral teachings of St. Paul. All of these things are used as a measure of how well we're doing. It is then up to the Catholic to take a look at the teaching of the Church and to see if, in fact, they are in proper communion. The idea that you can dispense with the objective moral teachings of the Church in favor of personalized conscience is lawless and anarchic.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Nice to be with you, Dr. Ray Grandy. I appreciate it so much. Beth is calling from Novi, Michigan. Hello, Beth.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
Now, the mental illness that you say your son has, what exactly is the diagnosis?
Well, he's had autism and ADHD diagnosed since he was like 8. And then he had general psychosis diagnosed in 2018. And then his current hospital stay, which lasted almost a month, he got diagnosed with bipolar.
What are his symptoms? What do you notice that is the most severe stuff?
The most severe is his manic, either angry manic or like a happy kind of. He doesn't get super delusional, but just like grandiose ideas about, you know, really just aren't realistic for him at all.
Give me an example.
The angry manic got to the point of him punching my husband in the face and knocking him to the ground.
Oh yeah, that's pretty agitated. Was this young man, as he was growing up, also a behavior problem?
Yes, he was. We have 5 children. He was always the most typical. He would at times punch holes in the wall. you know, yell and swear at us. It got a bit worse as he got older, but he never was violent towards us until about a month ago, right before we went to the hospital.
What makes you think you can handle him at home?
He can't come home. We don't think we can handle him. We have three younger daughters at home. We don't feel that it's safe for him to be at home. We tried to get him into a group home. We had one available for him. It was a very good one. And he basically turned it down because they wouldn't let him drive, even though everybody across the board, doctors, family members, everybody said he shouldn't be driving. He wouldn't accept that and wouldn't accept a group home. And so now he basically has no place to go, can't make his own decisions, and is very absent.
Where is he? Where is he right now? He's in the hospital,
but he's getting released today, but the insurance will not pay for it anymore. He got an injection of a medication, and so that lasts a month. And so they're saying he doesn't, he's not a harm to himself or others right now, so they can't keep him.
Famous last words. If he can't come home, what happens?
Like, where will he go?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we want to inform him to go to a group home as a step out of the hospital until he's better and more in his right mind, basically, and have more time for the meds to take effect. For him to be balanced, because his mood is not balanced yet.
Where I am in Ohio, in a nearby city, there is one place that is sort of an emergency placement. It deals with folks who are of various life type complications, diagnoses, etc. They're taken in, they have shelter, they have food, they have social workers. It's not a permanent placement like a group home might be, but it is definitely a transitional placement. You might want to look around your area for something like that. I got to believe they exist. Okay? And you could even talk to the social worker at the inpatient setting where he's coming from and say, here's the deal. In the past, he's just been too violent to be at home. We have other siblings. We do not feel safe. Therefore, we would like what you know about short-term emergency placements to prepare him for possibly, if the injection works well enough, that he clears up his mind enough to say, all right, I am ready to look at this. Now, if he's not, I had a daughter like this. She had five group homes. She sabotaged all of them. If not, there's not a whole lot you can do. I mean, you can try to get him declared incompetent, and if you have the strength, you can be his guardian. I was my daughter's guardian for several years until there was no way I could control her anymore. I didn't have the leverage as a guardian. But you can try it. And as a guardian, you will have a little more influence on getting him someplace. Because if you think it's risky for him to come home, then you got to let the people know that, and you tell them he's not coming here. He can't come home here, and right now he'd be on the streets. So I'm telling you, pull all your strings and find where emergency placements are, and they should have a social worker that can look into that stuff. I suspect your son thinks he's coming home.
I've talked to, she said when the group home, you know, he refused to go there, she said that his options were very few. She didn't give specifics. And I called different places that people have recommended, and they basically all said they don't do housing. They do, like, help find a therapist, help find a social worker, or, you know, a psychiatrist, things like that. Maybe come and meet with him once a month or a few times a month, but nothing like what we feel like he needs. He needs more help, supervision.
Beth, I can't help you because I don't know what's available in your area.
Okay.
This is not
necessary. Do you know about, like, state guardianship? Because we don't know if it would really work to be his legal guardian.
Well, you'd have to go through the courts. You'd have to do what we did, which is to get him declared incompetent, and possibly through any evaluation that they have left over from the hospital, or even an independent one. That's how we got ours. So she was declared incompetent through an expert. And then we took that to the courts, and the courts decreed it and said, yes, we had, in our opinion, this person cannot make their own decisions, and they need someone as a guardian. And that was me. Okay. But you're right on the cusp of kind of an emergency placement. And I'm not sure there aren't other options up your way. The social worker may have been looking at something long term and saying, well, if we won't take a long term group home and we don't have anything else, but there's got to be some emergency stuff. Thank you for being with me, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. Walk with God. It's your eternal walk.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.